Hello, my name is Mary Mack. I'm the Executive Director of ACEDS, the Association of Certified eDiscovery Specialists. I want to welcome you to our ACEDS webinar channel and a very special live podcast recording of the TAR Talk. And episode 6, this is the TAR Survey, what's good and what's not so good. And of course, our host for TAR Talk, John Trudenick, newly of Trudenick Long, and the founder of Catalyst, and Tom Grix, who was the first attorney ever to use TAR over the objections of opposing counsel.
Every time, Mary, every time, you're trying to get me in trouble. Mr. Trudenick.
And I will turn it over to our host, John. What are you drinking on the
Hello.
Porch, John?
Yeah, Mary, it's so good to see you out on the porch. And I feel a touch of springtime's coming on, except the Pittsburgh side of the porch, which is probably buried under snow. I'm having a Long Island iced tea myself. And one of the reasons for our audience that we only do these for 15 to 20 minutes is because if I got into my second Long Island iced tea, the program would really go down. But what are you guys having? Mary, what are you having?
I'm having an Arnie Palmer. It is spring, John.
And Mr. Grix?
And I will tell you, there is less snow here than there is in Denver, Don, just so you know. And I'm having a double espresso so I can talk about all this stuff that we need to talk about really fast today, all right? So, back
we
to
are
you.
Going to have to talk fast. We're going to have to talk fast. But before we go too far, we have a celebrity in our midst. And I'll give you a hint. It's not you, Mr. Grix, and it is not me. I have it on good authority that somebody in our group on the porch got a pretty interesting nomination as a stellar woman in eDiscovery, and she's already got my vote. I don't even know that they'll bother to nominate anybody else, but that's our Mary Mack. Congratulations.
Oh, my gosh.
Congratulations,
John, thank you so much.
Mary.
Thank you so much, Tom. I appreciate that. It's quite an honor, and an honor for ACEDS as well. So thanks, guys.
And by the way, John, you know what they say? They say if you can't run with the big dog, stay on the porch. And that's why you and I are here all the time and have to invite Mary, right? That's the way it works.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of another big dog in eDiscovery, there's our friend Rob Robinson, who couldn't be with us today. But I understand he might be listening in to our program. So a shout out to Rob Robinson, who has done yeoman's duty on a number of fronts for eDiscovery, including running surveys on a number of topics. But the one that's caught our attention is the 2019 survey just released earlier this month on TAR and what people are doing with TAR out in the industry. So you should know, just by way of background, he did a first survey on TAR, that's technology-assisted review, in March of 2013. That was kind of limited in scope, wasn't that big a deal. He did a follow-up, though, where he started digging some of the issues we're going to cover in September of 18 and the latest. So hello, Rob, and Tom. Jump in. What do you think about this?
Hey, what I want to say is thanks to Rob for going out and doing all this. This is a really important topic, and we frankly applaud him for everything he's done to actually move it forward and make people aware of the importance of TAR and some of these issues that we're going to see and talk about in this survey. You know, I look at that survey, though, as we get it back, and I think about the universe of folks that have looked at the survey, have responded to the survey, and I have a couple of reactions to that. You know, one of them is that it looks like the respondents are kind of limited here. There are no corporate respondents, right? So we don't have any corporations that are looking downstream and saying, okay, this is the tool that we like to have used. This is how we like to have our TAR efforts done. And most of the respondents are eDiscovery providers. And because they're eDiscovery providers, I don't know that it's really representative of the universe of the users of TAR tools. But, you know, that being said, this is a survey that kind of gives us a good bit of information on a number of fairly involved TAR topics One of the things that struck me, though, John, as I was looking through this is I'm not really sure it, as much work as Rob did to try to define everything, to try to explain it for everyone, I'm really not sure that everyone still grasps some of these terms and techniques, because some of this seems to be a little inconsistent when I look at it. And I think, you know, the best way to look at that is to kind of walk through the questions.
Yeah, we're going to hit the four main questions. And for those of you listening along, you can get a hold of the survey results by going over to complexdiscovery.com. You know, we may start adding some slides because a lot of people join us live, and that's fun. So we may add some visuals, but today we're in the world of radio, and we'll try to describe. The first question really was the name of the primary predictive coding platform. And there were a bunch named. We had 40 respondents in this survey. That's not as large as maybe we'd like to see. And as Tom said, sure like to see more corporate response and more attorneys. But it all ties together. Not surprisingly, Relativity was the largest name at about 14. But there are three or four others, Catalyst, Ringtail, Brainspace, that stood out. And then a whole lot of smaller numbers. I mean, as many as 15 different platforms noted here.
Yeah, John, and you know, when we look at that, that really raises kind of one of the issues that I talk about. When you look at this, I think one of the best things that you see is that people are appreciating the fact that we are focusing on TAR, we're focusing on predictive coding. These are issues that we really want to talk about and want to think about as we look at this, but I'm not sure that everyone is really responding to what the essence of Rob's question was, because the essence of Rob's question here is, what are you using for predictive coding or TAR? And so, for example, when folks say I'm using Relativity, granted, they may be using Relativity for review, but I'm not sure everybody is really using Relativity's tool for TAR, or they're using Relativity and they may not be using TAR. So that's why I say I'm not sure that these questions were fully answered by folks that truly understood the underlying essence of the question. So, you know, it's when you look at these questions, it's not certain whether these answers are all directly on point.
Yeah, and let me just say, in the way of full disclosure, that Tom and I have thought that we needed a good industry survey for years, and we were recently talking about how to do it, and guess what? It's really hard to come up with questions that are effective, and that might be probably our primary mild criticism, but we're making it as people who were a bit stumped as well, and maybe we'll all work together on refining this. The example is the second question, which is which predictive coding technologies are utilized by your eDiscovery platform. I have to make a rant. Would everybody stop using utilize, that pretentious word, and use something like three letters, use? It drives me crazy. So we're going to talk about which predictive coding technology is used by your eDiscovery platform. Me being a country lawyer, I can't use those highfalutin $20 words. Hey, active learning came out as the leading one by a long shot. Tom and I have been in the trenches pitching active learning for 7 years now or something, and it is good to see that the industry is finally recognized. More than 80% of the responders said they were using active learning. I don't know that they know what active learning is, because the joke is that you got support vector machine, latent semantic analysis, relevance feedback, which is a generic term, probabilistic latent semantic, and I just don't know how any of us really can answer a question like that, but they sure enough responded.
Well, as you know, John, I'm really in the same boat on that question. It is a tough one, and it's tough to really get behind the responses to this question, because there are some mixtures of technologies. You know, LSA, PLSA, those are really feature extraction, feature reduction types of technologies. They may underlie a tool that uses support vector machines, for example. So, you know, you got to be careful about that. And of course, relevance feedback is just kind of what underlies CAL. But, you know, you and I both know, because we've worked with Dr. Pickens for so long, that that if I were to say that getting into these technologies and the names of these technologies and how they work was critical, he would hit me. Because Jeremy's point is always this, and you know, it's kind of something that Herb Lloydblatt says. When you look at these technologies, a lot of them will work, right? They're gonna work. They're gonna beat linear review, no doubt about it. The question is, I was talking to Jeremy about this today, Dr. Pickens, and we talked about support vector machines. He said you got to understand there are about 1,000 knobs you can twist on a support vector machine. So you're not really getting to the essence of the question. It's not just support vector machines, it's how do you twist the knobs? So sometimes looking at the technology itself can be a little bit misleading. And what you really want to do instead, if you're talking to Dr. Pickens, for example, is you need to test these tools. Sometimes the best way to do it is a simulation that says, okay, let me run this tool against a data set. Let me run another tool against a data set and let's see how they turn out. And so in that sense, I think the focus on technologies might be a little bit myopic. The other thing we have to be careful on that is, you know, we're mixing, as I mentioned, different components of those technologies, you know, whether it's feature extraction, supervised machine learning, etc. And I worry that the respondents don't appreciate the distinction. And we might want to start, you know, as we were talking about maybe doing a survey, we might want to start splitting that up and looking at it from, you know, its independent sets.
Yeah, and I think a good example here, Tom, you can help our TAR Talk audience. We've got 4 people who say they're using neural networks in their TAR, 2 using random forests. I think our audience really would like to know the difference between the random forest and the neural network approach. Tom, just lay that. I'm going to give you the easy one. Softball. Just tell them in 10 words or less.
It is absolutely simple. I can easily get lost in a random forest. And I can walk all day in a random forest and still be lost. Neural networks, I have none. That's why I get lost in random forests. So
Tom Grit shoots turkeys in he shoots turkeys in his random forest. So let's move on, but I think you see the point. And it's kind of emphasized by the 3rd and 4th question, which I'm going to combine here. They're asking, which TAR protocol are you using? And what is the primary workflow that you're using? Protocol and workflow are about as confusing as you can be, but I will tell you that TAR 2.0 is the big winner. And since I made up that term many years ago, I always smile, and then there are people using TAR 3.0 and 4.0, and we laugh behind the scenes at that stuff because it was partly marketing, but definitely meant to distinguish between the TAR 1.0, which is down to 17% users. So TAR 2.0 and continuous active learning is way at the top of the chart these days.
And I think that's, I think that's one of the best takeaways from this survey that you can get, is that people are now beginning to focus on the newer techniques of getting to documents. And when I say newer, I shouldn't really say newer. I mean, I think we introduced CAL, continuous our CAL tool, Predict, in 2012. So it's been around for a good long time. But people are now starting to see the difference between kind of the first generation of tools that only gave you, you know, one-shot training and then push the button and push things out the door, versus continuous active learning that actually is constantly training in the background as you're going through this. And I think that's an important distinction. I think it's an important takeaway from this survey to see that that actually is something that folks appreciate this in this survey and are focused on as they try to figure out how they want to do their TAR work.
Is there a difference between a protocol and a workflow, Tom? And what the heck is it?
You know, I, in my in my opinion, not really. I mean, you look at this, and if you go back to something Ralph Losey said, and Jeremy says all the time, there are three layers to TAR, right? Feature extraction at the bottom, supervised machine learning, and process. Cal, SPL, SAL, those are all kind of processes, what I would maybe even call protocol. But really, all that is a process about how you implement this, which at the end of the day becomes a workflow. When we defined TAR 2.0, or you did, you know, it was really saying to people, we are moving into a new way of doing things, which really was Cal. So in my mind, they're very, very similar.
I have to agree. And that's part of the confusion that's natural for all but those few scientists, maybe, and they probably would debate it. The fifth question to me is the meat of this. And if I were offering criticism, Rob, I'd say, we'd love to flesh out this fifth question. That's, what are the areas where you use TAR technologies, the protocols and workflows, or whatever we want to call it? And not surprisingly, a huge percentage, like 80 or 90% use it for identifying relevant documents, which is where all the discussion started. But they listed a lot of other uses, and many or most of the respondents said that they use it for more than one purpose, which is no surprise.
Absolutely, John. And I would echo what you just said, and that is that this is one of the key points here. We've been pitching to folks for a long time that there are a lot of different things you can use TAR for other than just a responsiveness review for production. And I think it was critical for Rob to lay out the fact that there are other techniques, other use cases that TAR can be used for. And I think this survey kind of bears all of that out. I think that's a really, really important takeaway. The one thing that I would like to get to, as you mentioned, kind of digging in a little bit deeper, is the question of, really, which type of technique do you want to deal with for which type of use case? Because, you know, one of the key examples that we've talked about before is early case assessment, right? ECA. ECA requires you to be able to get to the good documents as quickly as possible. And if you go back to an old TAR 1 approach, or SAL or SPL, however you want to deal with it, the problem is those took an awful lot of work before you could ever start reviewing documents. So they weren't really very helpful in an ECA scenario because it took too long to get there. When you're looking at CAL or TAR 2, where it's bubbling up the good documents right from the get-go, it's got a great application in ECA. So what I'd like to do at some point, and if we can get a survey put together, I'd like to start digging behind not just these other use cases, but the tools and techniques that can be associated with those other use cases. My thoughts on
I couldn't agree more. Go.
No, that was just my thought on that whole question was really all about how we actually show the best way to get some of these things done. And I think that I'd like to start finding out if the industry is appreciating these differences and the ability to make those kinds of decisions when they're trying to figure out what they want to do and how they're going to implement it. That's kind of one of my big takeaways from this, is how to move to that next step.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Tom. What I found puzzling was that about 17% of the respondents said they were using TAR for information governance and data disposition. Maybe I can see it on data disposition, but it seems like a strange use. It would be fun to know more about what they're doing there. Because that one just seemed, well, it was of interest to me. You know, I think surveys are great. And wrapping up in 20 minutes, I think it's very important to be surveying. And we commend Rob for doing it. You know what we want to know about, or what I want to know about, is who's using it? Why are you using it? And why not if you're not using? What is holding you back? TAR Talk stands for the proposition that using machine learning, AI techniques on documents improves efficiency by quantum orders of magnitude, speed, cost reduction, and frankly, it's like, why aren't you using it for just about everything? And those are hard questions to ask in the form of a survey, much as the ones we covered. But those are the things I'd like to know about. You agree, Tom?
No doubt, John. I think that's critical. And as you and I have discussed on more than one occasion, actually putting that into a survey and getting accurate responses is a tough road. It's a tough road. I think we're going to try to put together a survey that goes into even more detail eventually. So that's going to be the next step, is to take Rob's survey and all of that information and move it on a little bit further.
Take it to the next level. I think we're going to be doing that. We're going to close now because my pay is only one Long Island iced tea. And when I run out of it, I have to stop. I'm not doing any more work for this ACEDS group. But Mary Mac, do you want to take a minute and get your campaign started? I know you've got posters and flyers coming, but if you've got anything closing to say at TAR Talk, it's not too early to be campaigning, as we know from the presidential race.
Oh, John, I just want you all to be registered to vote. But I want to thank you. I want to thank Tom, and I want to thank Mr. Rob Robinson, who puts together very very interesting and timely surveys, and he does them over time so that we can see trends. It's quite a gift to our community, his blog, complexdiscovery.com. And I love that you two took the time to walk through the TAR survey that he's done for us. And we're going to see the click and clack of the technology-assisted review community back here on a podcast in the next 2 weeks. Thanks, John. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank everybody who came to the live and who's listening recorded. Bye-bye.
All right. See y'all.